Of us. One of the challenges that we face is that it is typically interpreted the way that the Beatitudes are typically looked at is that Jesus is simply offering comfort to us for particular situations, that if we've happened to find ourselves mourning, well then we look and we see that Jesus maybe is offering comfort to us if we are mourning, when we do find ourselves that are mourning. But here is the challenge. Jesus is not offering comfort or even instruction for a particular type of situation. Jesus, in this passage, we need to understand, Jesus is promising blessing to a particular type of person. He doesn't say, "Blessed are you when you do mourn." What does he say? "Blessed are those who do mourn." And so he is describing a particular type of person. And even further than that, we need to understand that the type of person that he is describing is in stark contrast to the type of person that they would normally have considered to be blessed in that time. The type of person that Jesus is describing in the Beatitudes is not like the Pharisees. The Pharisees had done everything right and had said everything right, and they felt like they had received all of the right rewards. They felt like they were blessed. "I have followed the Ten Commandments. What else should I have done?" But yet, while they felt like they had done and said everything just right, they had missed everything that the Lord is looking for. When we read the Ten Commandments, and we hear Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." We need to understand that what Jesus is communicating is really what the Lord has been communicating all along. You can go back to Psalm 51 where you hear David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, say to us and to God's people that the sacrifices of God are a poor and contrite spirit. God is not interested just in your list of behaviors that you have done. God wants our heart. And so all the way back in Psalms, God lays out, "Listen, I don't want you to just check off the list. I want you to be poor, be a spiritual beggar. I want you to cry out to me in spiritual need because you need me. I want you to mourn over sin and not make excuses for it. I want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness." That's the kind of person that reflects the Holy Spirit's work in their heart. That's the kind of person that, having had the Holy Spirit at work in their heart, now Jesus can promise that right there. That's what it looks like. That's the person that has been blessed. Not that. Not the guy that said everything, done everything that they think they should have. No, this is what it looks like. And so he describes some characteristics of the heart in the first five or six, all the way down through verse six. Beginning in verse 7, when he says, "Blessed are the merciful," the last several are not necessarily characteristics of the heart. They are now characteristics of our life. Blessed are the merciful. When there is mercy coming out, there it is. That's what it looks like to have the Holy Spirit at work in your heart. That's what it looks like to be one who is blessed. I mentioned last week the parable of the Good Samaritan, that you had two different Pharisees, spiritual leaders, who walked right by a gentleman laying in the ditch, bloodied and beaten. But a Samaritan came up and showed mercy. That's what the Lord says. That's what it looks like to have my Spirit at work in your life. That's what I am looking for. That's the person that is blessed. So he is not offering comfort or instruction for a particular type of situation. He's promising blessing for a particular type of person. We get this morning to verse 9. And I have intentionally chosen just one verse, just one phrase for us this morning, because we need to spend some time here. He says in verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." What does a son of God look like? Now, we know in Romans tells us that to those who believe on Him, that's the Lord Jesus, to them He has granted the right to be called the Son of God. So how do you become a son of God? It is not because you do the right thing or say the right thing. You become a son of God by trusting in the perfect Savior who would come, take our sin, and give us His righteousness. We know that that's true. You become a son of God because Christ came and is willing to give us His righteousness. What does a son of God look like? Well, isn't that just one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, isn't that all there is to it? No! If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, can you stay the old way? No, you can't stay the old way. You trust Jesus as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit's going to come into your heart, and what's going to automatically happen, maybe not overnight, but without fail, what's going to happen? He will change you, and His fruit will come out of you, and His life will be displayed in yours. And so you can't say, well, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and that was, you know, a long time ago. I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm good. What else is there? Holy Spirit, holy smoke, what else is there? Jesus is giving us a whole list. Here is what it looks like. Do you know what a son of God looks like? One who is a son of God, one who has been given the right to be called the Son of God, one who has trusted in the Savior, Jesus Christ, and has been given the right to be called the Son of God. What that looks like is a person who is a peacemaker. Man, what is a peacemaker? It would be important to find out, wouldn't it? Because Jesus says, the one who is the Son of God, this is what He looks like. He's a peacemaker. We need to take some time this morning, and there is a lot of context here that Jesus is working, and I want us to see, we're going to take a little tour. I want us to see what Jesus means when He says peacemaker, because there is a lot. So, I want us to turn, hang on with me. We're going to fly through a few different passages here, and I want to spend just a minute in each one, but you got to be quick on the draw, because we got to move. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, go down to about the middle of the chapter, verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him." That is, the Father gave His character, all the fullness of God He put into Christ. Verse 20. "And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross." Jesus was the original peacemaker. God put in Him all of His fullness because He loved the world. He sent His Son, and the work that Jesus accomplished while He was here on earth was to make peace between God and man, offering the sacrifice of His blood on the cross, which was required for God's wrath against man to be satisfied, and for God, then, a holy God, to be able to have fellowship and relationship with sinful man because of Christ. Jesus came to make peace. At Christmas time, we sing songs that are based on the Gospel of Luke, The angels. What did the angels come to tell the shepherds? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we say, well, wait a minute, man. They obviously didn't know what they were talking about, because there hasn't been peace on earth these 2,000 years since they sang that song, right? They missed it. They weren't talking about the end of war, at least not yet. That is coming. Do you know what peace they were talking about? The peace that Jesus would accomplish on the cross. Peace between God and us. Ephesians chapter 2. Very quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, the Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision which is performed in the flesh, meaning there was some division between the haves and the have-nots. He says in verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's who we are naturally. Strangers, excluded, separated, no hope, without God. That's us. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. Jesus came so that we who were far off might be brought near, and He is our peace. Jesus was the original peacemaker. And we desperately need Him to be our peacemaker. He is the only way that we can have peace with our Creator God. The only way we can know Him. Jesus came to make peace. Now, that in itself is an astounding thought. And that ought to take us back and, oh, yeah. Wow, I need to be thankful for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This one ought to get us. That Ephesians, Colossians, that ought to get us. This one, though, is amazing. I cannot even believe that this passage says what it does. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things, meaning the new things in our life, are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And then watch this. So what did Christ do? Christ came and reconciled us to Christ. The word reconcile is just a different way of saying made peace. He reconciled us. He did away with the enmity between us and God. He reconciled us to God. He made peace. Now watch this. Verse 18, all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you realize what that means? Jesus was the original peacemaker. Jesus came to make peace. And I can't even believe this. What ministry has He given to us? The ministry of making peace. The ministry of reconciliation. What Christ came to do, what Christ accomplished on the cross of Christ accomplished it on the cross, but the ministry of drawing men into peace between themselves and their Creator God. Whose ministry is that? And yours? Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us. I'll read that again. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Three times in that passage, he says very clearly that the ministry of making peace between God and men is ours. Wow. Back to Matthew chapter 5. Now, let's read verse 9 again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What does Jesus mean when He says, blessed are the peacemakers? What He means is that those who are called sons of God, when they look at the world around them, their heart is to draw men to the Lord. Their heart is to do the work that Christ did, to do the work that He has given us to do, to draw men to Himself. That's actually super duper significant, because do you know what the Pharisees did in that day? The Pharisees did not draw men to Christ. They certainly didn't draw men to Christ. They didn't even draw men to God. Do you know what they did? The Pharisees built walls. The Pharisees said, well, in order to know God, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And in fact, really what you need to do is you need to be like me. And if you cannot be like me, well, I guess that's too bad for you. And they looked around at the world around them, and they thought to themselves, those people probably will never make it. Now, do you see what they did? I cannot believe what they are doing. They'll never make it. We are tempted to do the same thing. We look at the world around us, and we are very quick to add up all of the reasons why they are the way that they are, why they shouldn't be that way, and how if they were just more like me, they would be a whole lot better off. And in fact, that's not true. What they need is not me, they need Jesus. And those who are called the sons of God are peacemakers, that we draw men, we show them, here is how. Listen, reconciliation with God, salvation, redemption, forgiveness, new life, it's available, and here is how you can get it. It's Jesus. Don't you know that a Savior died on a cross for you? The veil is torn. He loves you. That's the heart of a peacemaker. But that's not all that a peacemaker's heart is. Turn with me very quickly back to Ephesians chapter 6. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 2. Back to Ephesians chapter 2 very quickly. Verse 13, but now in Christ you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And He might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Here's the point of that passage. The point of that passage is, listen, by nature we were separated from God. We were strangers of the covenants of promise. We were excluded. We had no hope. We had no God. Christ came to establish peace. He is our peace between us and our Father. But that is not all that he came to accomplish. That his death broke down the barrier, the dividing wall of the law. Here's what was happening. There was distinctions between people. There were the goods and the bads, the have-nots and the haves. There were the Sunday school kids and the street kids. By the way, that's the distinction that the Pharisees were making between themselves and everybody else. The Pharisees saw themselves as the Sunday school kids. I grew up in church. I memorized scripture at Awanas. You grew up doing who knows what. There were the Sunday school kids and the street kids. But you know what? Here's the thing. Jesus died to wipe away all those distinctions. Why? Because we all need Christ. And he died to bring the two into one, to make one new man. Christ died not just to do away with the enmity between man and God, but Jesus died to do away with the enmity between you and me. He did away with any reason for me to ever think that I am better than you, or for you to think that you are better than him, or for her to think that she is better than her. Jesus died to do away with any of that, so that he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing what? Peace. You see, you cannot have peace this way if you do not also have peace this way. Because Jesus died to establish them both. At least as far as it depends on us. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who make peace, who draw men to peace with their Heavenly Father, and who establish peace with their fellow man that reflects the peace with their Heavenly Father. Can I tell you something? That truth is very clarifying. Because I want to be honest with you guys. We live in a country full of anything but peacemakers. And I mean Christians. If you are a peacemaker, you don't call people names. You don't do it. If you are a peacemaker, if somebody says something that you don't like, if you are a peacemaker, you don't insult them back. I'm going to say that again. If you are a peacemaker and somebody says something that you don't like, to be a peacemaker means that you do not insult them back. Blessed are the peacemakers. And we look around us, and if Jesus' word is true, and it is, then there are a lot of people who are in trouble. But let this word sink in. And let Jesus' instruction here and his description of those who he promises blessing to. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the sons of God. We have got to be different. We've got to be different. We cannot fall right in line with the way that our society is going. It doesn't matter how good it feels or even how right it seems, because those people are saying wrong things. Yes, they are, but you don't have to say it in a hateful way. You can still hold up the truth and be a peacemaker, because a kind answer turns away wrath. You can still hear people who are saying wrong things, and rather than a heart that wants to stuff them in a hole, you have a heart that wants to draw them to peace. That is altogether different than anything that the world or our society or even our culture here, if we're honest with ourselves, teaches and acts. Altogether different. He is not saying that you just agree with everybody, that you just roll over. He's not saying that anything goes, but Jesus is saying that the sons of God, those who are called the sons of God, they're peacemakers. Father, God, I praise you that you sent your Son to be our peace. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, I thank you for your love for us. God, you know how desperately we needed you. Thank you that though we were separated and strangers and even enemies, Father, of your own, your heart was to establish peace. You sacrificed your Son to do it. Father, I pray that you would change us, mold us, transform us, that we might reflect your heart, your character. God, make us peacemakers like Jesus. Pray that you would convict us when we are not, that we wouldn't excuse it, but that, God, we would hate our sin and mourn over it and hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing. And as we stand and sing, you know, any time that you open God's Word, you have to respond in some way. You can't walk away from God's Word unchanged. And let me encourage you this morning, however it is that you need to respond, maybe it is that you have never trusted Jesus to be your peace. You've always been trying to establish your own peace, and it isn't going to work because you've already blown it. We're enemies of God by nature, and we need Jesus to be our peace. And if you have never come to see Christ and to trust Him as your peace, your salvation, and you need to trust Him today. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said that the sons of God are peacemakers. Maybe it is that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to go back over our words and our attitudes and our Facebook posts and our tweets and our conversations, and let Him put His finger right there and say, right there, God, forgive me. Change my heart. Maybe we need to respond that way. However it is that the Holy Spirit is putting His finger on you right now, let Him do it. Let's stand and sing.
Let's open our hymn books to number 251. Yes. skyfall.